So everybody, can you all see that? We've got the webinar there.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, from this moment on, I really can't see who's on. Let's just list a bit. Participants. There we go. Look at that. I can see. Awesome. So topics for tonight. Can I get this to work? So update on where we're up to with the software. There's stuff happening at the moment. Some other news and announcements. Some discussions around our monthly webinar timing. And an interview with one of the spending planners. So let's start with the software. Our goal with the software is to reach 1,000 software users by the start of 2020. Currently sitting at 428, so we've got a little way to go. But you've got to think big and set goals, so that's what we're doing here. So just before I go on to what's happening, what's new that's happening, I had a campaign sort of over the last 6 weeks. I emailed everybody and said, please let me know if there are any demo clients that you want me to keep. Otherwise, I'm going to go through and remove them. So quite a lot of spending planners emailed in and said, these are the ones that I'd like you to get rid of, and these are the ones I'd like to keep. And so I've taken action on that, but I haven't culled any of the ones from people who didn't contact me. This is kind of a last ditch attempt to motivate those of you that go, oh my goodness, I haven't done that. Otherwise, if you lose some demos that you really wanted, I'm not even going to apologize, okay? Because I really want to get it all tidied up. So that's that. All right, now this afternoon, if you've been to the Spending Planners Institute website, you may have noticed that I've added a little entry in the blog. And I'll see if I can take you there right now, just to see what we've done. I open up a new window and go to spendingplanner.com.au. So this is a sign-in page, and I'm guessing that not many of you people actually use this page. This website, spendingplanner.com.au, serves just one very basic purpose. It sits there all the time and does nothing except give you a sign-in button. And this is the page that I tell all of my customers to go to when they first come on board, and it's the place that I send them to all the time. And the reason is because if the Spending Planner application goes down, it's at spendingplan.com.au. This is always here. And so at least I can put messages up here and say what's happening, you know, what the problem is, knowing that it will always be there. So today I put this message there saying, attention, Spending Planner software will be undergoing updates late on Saturday evenings for a number of weeks in August to attend to a couple of issues that have been reported and to prepare for future new features. So that is also on the sign-in page on our application. Oh, I need to sign in, of course, don't I? It doesn't stand out so much here, but if you click on scheduled software updates, click here, you get the same message without quite the same impact, but that's the best I can do. All right, so what are these updates that are happening? Thanks to Sam Boardman, we found out early this year, I think it was, that, and Sam, what did you say? Just unmute yourself, if you don't mind.
Okay, I'm done, yes. I've
got a new client with a $300,000 in a savings account.
Yeah. And so, she still needs to budget, which I love.
You may recall earlier this year there was a rounding error. There was somebody was putting in a very large opening balance and it was upsetting all of the balances.
Oh, yeah.
So it turned out, and most, look, 99.99% of people wouldn't have experienced this and probably may never do so. But the field type that Nick chose for every cell in the software that holds a dollar figure could not cope with such a big number. In fact, I think $300,000 may actually round, may actually fall into that category. So what he has had to do is go through every box in every screen in the software and change the field type to stop it from rounding it down to like messing up the sense. And it was only upsetting the sense. And to me, it was such a huge job for such a small improvement, but it was something that we just had to do. We couldn't have the software, you know, rounding down some cents. If somebody wanted to put in 38 cents, it needed to say 38 mm-hmm. cents. So it's been a massive task for almost, most people won't even notice the benefit, but it had to be done. So that's something that's being rolled out at the moment, every Saturday evening until this is all done. Late at night, the software may go down for about an hour. Another thing that causes problems is what I'm going to call validation of data. And I'll give you a perfect example. In setting up a credit card, it's possible for you to put in your most recent payment date as a future date, which obviously could not be, but it's possible. So when we talk about validation of data, we're basically saying when somebody enters something that doesn't make sense, we don't let them do it. Or we don't let them click on save, for example, until they've filled in all of the boxes. Or we don't let them, you know, do things that just don't fit. So Nick says to me, writing software is 20% of the work and making it idiot-proof is 80% of the work. But when you create software, you don't know want to get it out there and people using it as soon as you can. So clearly these sorts of things come later. So one of the things he said to me, he's done a lot of data validation. And once again, this isn't something that you're going to be doing happy dances about, because it's not something that you're going to go, oh, great, we can all see the benefit of that. But it's something that needed to be done. I'm not sure that it's complete, but it's been a lot of it has been done. Now, there was a problem that only a handful of people knew about, where if you tried to do a transfer from a savings account to a credit card account, for example, you might have had a client who wanted to make a weekly payment to their credit card. So they set up a transfer to their credit card. So at the end of the month, when the software actually generated the monthly balance, it was only a small amount rather than the full normal amount. And you think about a credit card account, it actually displays in the software as positive numbers, but they're actually negative amounts because credit is money that you owe to the bank. So we had a situation where we had double negatives, where a transfer coming from a savings account to a credit card account was actually being shown as a expense rather than as a deposit, I think is how it was going. So that is being fixed in this current round of updates, and that will make a few people very much happier. I think there were just a couple of people who were aware of it. I think Kim, I think Sam, I know you had an aunt there, I think had a client just recently discovered that same problem. But none of those things are any of the things that you'd be getting excited about and go, oh, maybe Sam will be, because I know, Sam, you've been waiting for a long time for that. But they're not things that you go, oh, great, these are new features that we can tell people about. But these had to come first. We had to fix up these little things before we could move forward. And we have quite a long list of things that we can then start launching into, and I touched on some of them last time. So over the next few weeks, Saturday nights, if you go in to use your spending planner software, you may find it's out of action. That's why. Okay. So now back to my PowerPoint. Not that one. This one. So next thing. Spending Planners Institute goals, build a profile of the Institute as the go-to organisation. Notice my new mission statement here, taking families from money stress to money success. So what I want to announce tonight, drum roll please, is our 2020 annual conference, which is going to be at the Mooloolaba Mantra on the Sunshine Coast. Now, we went to the mentor at the Gold Coast last year, and that was very well received. There were some things that we wanted to improve on. And so we've done that, and we're going to the mantra at Mooloolaba this next year. Early bird bookings are available right now, and if I go to whereabouts, Resources Centre, and click on Annual Conference, you will see that you can now click on and find the details about that conference. Isn't that a beautiful beach image? That's not quite Mooloolaba Beach, but it's pretty close to it. So it will be the same weekend next year, Valentine's Day weekend. We did have kind of reservations about that weekend, but it worked well this year, so we figure why not go with it again next year. It was much better to be outside of school holidays because the price came down dramatically. But it's not too far into the year that we're not, you know, we want it to be early in the year so you can all get revved up and excited and set your goals for the year. So that's the weekend. Now, normally their accommodation, if you went looking there right now, you would see it's up around $280 a night. We have booked 20 rooms for the Saturday night and have a $100 discount on those pretty much, from memory. The first 20 people that want to book in, you'll actually buy the rooms from us, not from the mantra. And you'll get a huge discount off that accommodation. I know Kathy has also been looking at some Friday nights because lots of you normally come in on the Friday night as well. So you can go ahead and read all about that and book yourself in. Now, $750 price hasn't gone up. That's the same. The early bird price is a significant discount. It will be $550 this time. We've actually recognized that having a keynote speaker, there's two prices. So what you do is you choose the one-time payment or you choose the, you can pay it off as five lots of 110 if you want to do a payment plan. That's how that works. Hang on, I'll get back here. So get onto that. That early bird price is for the month of August. Now, I don't know, awards dinner shouldn't be there, but it is. But anyway, that's awards. So those of you that got awards this year know what some of the awards are, but let's just quickly go over them because from now on, the rest of the year, I've got my looking glasses on and you guys should have your looking glasses on because we're looking for people to give awards to. So you all know we have a Spotty Award, which is for the spending planner who's pretty much added the most new clients over the year, but also actively participated in the community, demonstrated a commitment to the industry and helping others, spending planners along the way. The OnSpotty Award is for the outstanding new spending planner of the year. And I'll be looking at all of the new trainees to see who's an outstanding candidate there. Client with the best results. So here we'll be asking you, I mean, if you don't nominate, you won't be in it. But if you've got a client who you think has done extremely well and you want to nominate for the award, I made the mistake this year of only issuing a trophy to the spending planner. But next year I'll make sure I've got a trophy for their client as well because that was an oversight on my part. We ended up rectifying that, but I should have got it right at the start. So if you've got a client that you think could qualify for that, really put a bomb under them and tell them there's a trophy in it if they come up as being the best one for the year. So go for that. Client Relationship Award, the spending planner who submits the highest number of valid customer testimonials from this 12-month calendar period. Why would we be looking for that? I'm trying to encourage you guys to ask your clients for testimonials because if you don't ask, usually you don't get. But if you do ask, more often you'll have people say, oh, I'd be happy to. I'd love to. I'd love to do that. In fact, Carol and I noticed on her Facebook page just in the last couple of days had an absolute cracker of a testimonial from one of her clients who was singing her praises. So, you know, you've got to ask for them, but we're looking for somebody who's got the most number of testimonials. There's a trophy coming your way. And hopefully that will motivate all of you to go and ask for them and get lots. Leadership Award, the spending planner who was judged to have been the most active encouraging other spending planners, posting positive comments on the forum, and it will be nominated by you guys. So 4 weeks before conference, I'll close that off. And basically, it's up to you to tell me who you think has been doing the best job at leading and encouraging the rest of you to get out and do what you need to do as a spending planner. Most improved from conference to conference. I'm looking for somebody who came to conference this year, who's coming to conference next year, who had less than five customers when they came this year, but who suddenly got their skates on and put their shoulder to the wheel, so to speak, and has added the most number of clients from conference to conference. So this is the most improved CSP for someone who was going nowhere and they suddenly got motivated and put their foot to the accelerator. And then I have a Founders Award. In fact, I had a couple of those this year, which is to a spending planner or spending planners who didn't receive any of the awards I've just mentioned, but who I felt made an outstanding contribution to the advancement of our industry. And I'm happy to receive nominations on that. And obviously I'm the person that chooses those ones. So lots of awards to be had. Of course, that amazing band that was at the conference this year will be back next year. So the Saturday night awards dinner will be a party to end all parties with lots of dancing and fun to go with it. If you've got a partner that you want to bring to the awards dinner, you will notice that you can actually just purchase their dinner booking for the Saturday night at that website that we looked at before as well. Anybody got any questions about that or any comments? You'll have to unmute yourself if you want to do that. So I know there'll be a time lag. Couple of things about that. If you fly into Brisbane, obviously you'll have to get yourself up to the Sunshine Coast. If you fly into the Sunshine Coast, you're a lot closer. There's even been talk of me getting my bus and running a bus from Brisbane Airport up, but there's probably too many different time slots and that might not work. But probably the best suggestion would be for you to carpool. It's probably cheaper to hire a car between four of you and drive up from Brisbane Airport than it would be to catch the shuttle buses. So if you have any questions at all about that or you want some help with organising connections, that's what Kathy's there for and she'd be happy to help. And so am I. All right. Now, this is something I was about to announce last month, but I had to just pull out at the last minute. So next year, we're going to have Leadership Conference Cruise. So we've got our annual conference at the start of the year. And towards the end of the year, in October, we're going to have a leadership conference on one of these. Probably that very boat, actually. I probably shouldn't call a boat. I should call it a ship. So that's a little bit exciting. How do you get to go on this conference cruise? In the month of June next year, so on the 30th of June, I will be looking at the month of June. And if you have 25 or more paying software customers, so people who you've signed up who are paying their subscription for the software, you qualify to come. If you've got 75 paying software users, I'm going to pay for half of your cruise. If you've got 150 or more, you come for free. So that should motivate some of you to actually get out there and get some customers, hopefully, and come along and join us on this cruise ship. Any questions about that? Your jaws are all on the floor, I know. So, cool.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Very cool. Yeah.
And it's going to be lots of free time, so you'll be able to relax. Obviously, we're going to do some conferencing, but we're also going to do some relaxing. So
that was going to be my question, how much would we be sort of working as opposed to relaxing on this cruise?
Well, Sam, as much as you can opt in or out of any sessions whatsoever, but it will be fairly casual.
Yeah, good.
But a great opportunity to rub shoulders with other people who are achieving and compare notes, find out what they're doing and, you know, learn from people who are upwardly mobile.
Yeah, I agree. And I can't make the conference either. I just looked at my diary. I'm already busy that weekend because it's Valentine's weekend. So I can't make the conference. So I'll be gunning for the cruise.
You can't double up.
Hey?
You can't double up and make conference weekend the Valentine's weekend as well.
No. Okay. No, there's stuff already locked in.
Okay.
In Sydney, I'll be in Sydney.
No good.
So I couldn't even, you know, wing it.
All right. Well, I'm sorry about that.
That's... Me too.
All right. Well, the cruise. You'll have to come to the cruise.
That's it.
Yeah.
How long does the cruise go for, David?
It's 4 days, 3 nights at this stage, as far as I've done so far.
Have you got any costumes?
I think it leaves on a Saturday afternoon and it gets in on a Tuesday morning.
Have you got any costings? So, you know, like we know how much the 50% is or the all of it or whatever, or is that not?
I've got a rough idea, but it's too rough to really go opening my mouth at this point.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it depends on numbers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why the cutoff is the end of June and the cruise is in October, because I need to give myself time to actually book in and make all the arrangements once I know how many people are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right, you may recall that earlier in the year I announced that we were doing this podcast, and that's the address of the podcast at the moment, Anchor. It's on this podcasting platform called Anchor. Carol and Mose very kindly has been helping me with that. The two of us have been interviewing each other and other people. We've probably got 4 or 5 of those podcasts done. And then realised that we'd learnt a lot. You know, when you start something and you know nothing about it, you learn a lot in a hurry. So that's pretty much what happened with us. And so we stepped back and took some advice from some people who were much more experienced than us, and decided that we had to go away and create a series that we could use as a free giveaway. You know, in marketing on the internet, you'll come up with some gifts that you'll give away in exchange for somebody's contact details. So we developed a 3-part mini series plus bonus. That is a giveaway that we're going to use to entice people to sign up for our giveaway to get their contact details and be able to stay in connection with them. And Carolyn, I actually want to publicly thank her for the amount of effort and time that she's put in. We have now got this new web page called spendingplannersinstitute.com/podcast series, where if I go one little tiny bit further, we've got just little snippets of the 4 episodes that we've created to entice people to scroll down a little bit further and subscribe to that series and put themselves on your mailing list. Now, the whole purpose of this podcast is because we figure that if we want spending planning to become easier and easier for you guys to sell, we've got to raise the profile of the industry Australia-wide, worldwide. And one thing that we recognize, for example, you all probably know who Scott Pape is, Barefoot Investor. He's written a couple of books, which has made everybody know who he is. So we decided that a podcast was definitely a step in the right direction, and we've done all of this work. But one thing that we also decided was that we had a pretty soft launch last time. It was just, I told you guys, oh, by the way, we've got this podcast, which was fairly pathetic, really. And so what we're doing is we're actually going to have a real party and launch this thing properly and get as many well-known people on our launch as we can possibly get, so that they'll tell all of the people on their databases that they should come and listen in to get ourselves spread around the country. And one of the things that I feel is really important is that we get as many spending planners on this launch party as possible. So it's just under 2 weeks away, the 14th of August, and you and all your friends are invited. There will be more information coming, but we're going to basically supply you with all the information you'll need to invite your friends and your listeners and your readers and your clients. And we'll want to interview some of you, and we'd love to interview some of your clients and find out how their life has changed from having a spending planner, because we want to use this not just as a way to launch our podcast series, but also as a way to advertise what we do, promote what we do. So hopefully you're not all busy that evening. I anticipate.
David.
Yeah.
I just realised something. I know we talked about that date earlier today. That's actually Brisbane Show Day.
Great.
I don't know if that's great, if that's good or bad. It could be good. It could be bad. But hey, the rest of Australia's free, so let's run with it.
Well, if it changes, it'll have to change in the next 12 hours. So
yeah, I don't think it can.
There's always going to be something on.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, we'll just do it. It means that all the children will be on holiday, so the parents will be nice and relaxed. So,
or stressed.
What does a podcast party look like? Like, what actually are you going to do?
Good question. We're going to have lots of people who are going to be. It's like a radio show. If you've ever listened to a radio show, a talkback radio show, it'll be a bit like that.
Like a marathon or something.
It'll go for a couple of hours, and we'll be able to. You know, we'll set some times for different people to come on, so that we can. You'll know that at a certain time we're going to talk to you and just interview, talk to people about money matters, and try and make it as exciting.
Okay,
David,
it will be live.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay, so Anthea, what we essentially do is put it up as an event on Facebook before then, and we'll spread it far and wide, and we'll want all the planners throughout every state of Australia, you know, spreading it far and wide as well. On the night, we actually go live. So it's a Facebook Live, okay, and it'll go for about 2 hours probably. And what we'd like to do is go from state to state and talk to the planners and hopefully talk to one or two of their clients who have a success story to tell, okay? And then in the middle of, in between all of that, we'll have other people, other speakers come on board as well. We've got a few that we're approaching at the moment. And David and I will also be sharing tips. Well, we can all be sharing tips on money and stuff like that. So, and we'll be encouraging people to ask questions and whatever. So it'll be, you know, this is an opportunity to get your questions answered from mortgage brokers, financial planners, spending planners, whoever.
Yeah. Okay. And obviously we'll encourage.
So if it's live, it's going to be video, right?
Yes.
You'll be interviewing people via video.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And we're going to encourage people to send in their questions beforehand so that we don't have any pregnant pauses where there's no questions and nobody to talk to. But I don't think that will happen. But yeah, so.
What did Anne say? Can we foreigners see what is happening remotely? What do you mean by that, Anne?
Yes, she can. She's in New Zealand.
Oh, right. Yes, absolutely.
You're not foreign, Anne. You're just a cousin across the ditch.
You're not a foreigner. Yeah, so it'll also be recorded, Anthea, so we'll be able to all use it after the event as well as promotional stuff.
Yep, and obviously if you've had a bit to play in that, you might just edit out the bit with you and keep that to share on your website or whatever.
Yep.
You don't have to share it all.
And if you've got any other ideas on what that could look like, put them on the forum, because we're just in the planning stages at the moment. So Kathy will be, you know, helping us put that together, obviously. And, you know, just come on board with all your ideas of what you think
yep.
it could be as well.
Absolutely.
About, you know, getting the Institute's name out there and promoting us Australia-wide. If we have someone in every state of Australia on that call that night, that's awesome for all of us.
And as I said earlier, when Carol and I started this at the start of the year, we had no idea what we were doing. Now we've learned a bit. This will be our first launch. We're going to learn from this. And if you, any of you guys...
I have a suggestion.
Yeah, go for it.
One of the really good ways of getting people to engage even more is if they can see that them actually turning up is going to benefit someone else in a way. So for instance, what you could say over and over again in your launch party is, we're going to count the amount of people who like, comment and view this podcast party for the next 2 hours. And for every person that views, likes, comments, shares, or any of those things, we're going to, you know, gift a dollar for each person or whatever it is. Like, we're going to give, you know, X amount or whatever to whatever cause it is.
So I love that idea.
Like an aid sort of project or something, or maybe it's like, you know, I don't know. Just the thought there, that really lifts engagement a lot to do that sort of thing.
That's a great idea. I really like that, Anthea.
Might be the end of my holiday.
Well, it doesn't actually have to.
No, I'm joking.
Money, it can, you know. I don't know, like you can talk about it in terms of percentages, like, you know, you might talk about it something like, you know, we're gonna gift, I don't know, 1% of Spending Planner software sales
for a certain
over, you know, the last month or something like that. So people don't actually know how much that is, but it seems like a lot.
Good idea.
They have no idea how many Spending Planner software sales they are. So, you know, it just sounds like a big deal.
Yep. No, great idea. So thank you. Keep the ideas coming, guys. That's a good, great one. All right. So before we go into the last part of this, just I figured that going to an evening time slot was better. Just looking at the number of people on here at the moment. This tells me that we've got 9, which is probably no more than I had at 1 o'clock in the afternoon session. So I can't say it's been a raging success, but I think it theoretically should be better, so I'll stick with it. However, September, this time, 1 month from now, I may well be standing on the viewing platform of the Eiffel Tower because I'm going to be in France. So there may not be a September webinar unless somebody else volunteers to do an interview or do something. I'm working on that. It was suggested that maybe I could do a Facebook Live or something from where I am going to be, but I can't guarantee that I will actually be in a position where I'll be able to do that. So it's a little bit up in the air at the moment, but I just thought I'd warn you about that. All righty. So, ta-da! Recognize that face. Last month I interviewed Sherry and we got a lot of great information from how she had started and was running her business. And so this month I thought, okay, Anthea is our Spending Planner of the Year. Let's interview Anthea and find out how she gets to be Spending Planner of the Year. And in her first year, got to be Outstanding New Spending Planner of the Year. So thank you, Anthea, for allowing me to interview you. And I guess we should start off just asking you a simple question like, how come you're so successful? Is that a simple question? What things have you been doing that have been working for you? Because you've really jumped out of the box right from the word go. Sorry?
Yeah, grit. Yeah, grit and determination.
And that goes with every business startup. So I guess if you can give us some insight into the sorts of things that you've done, and I absolutely accept that there's been a lot of blood, sweat and tears and money gone into getting started, what tips would you give others? What sorts of things are you doing that you would suggest?
Really interestingly, this month I've had a couple of wins and I just was reflecting on, you know, the last sort of year and a half. Oh God, I think my earphone batteries are going to go flat. If you kind of lose me, I'll just have to probably rejig my earphone batteries. I just was reflecting on, you know, the last sort of year and a half and how many conversations I've had with people over that time. I just have lost count of how many conversations.
Yep.
Maybe, I don't know, 500, 600, many, many hundreds of conversations and right. And some of the people that, you know, I spoke to a year or so ago, Like I had two sign-ups this month, or last month actually, because it's the beginning of August now.
Yep.
Of people who I had conversations with over a year ago, who one of them was at a conference that this corporate trainers event that I spoke at. So it was a small audience. There's only probably about 20 people, but this guy came up to me and, you know, he said, oh, I really resonated with, you know, a couple of things he shared, and I'm really interested or whatever. And you know, that was my first ever speaking gig, and I made lots of mistakes in that I didn't get people's business cards or make any contact with them
afterwards
or anything like that. It was just like I walked away and that was it, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think anything would come of it. But he calls me up last month and says, oh, you know, I've had your business card that whole time, and I've been going through this divorce settlement and all this sort of stuff and waiting for the right time. And so now he's come on board.
Cool.
And the other one is a local woman who I had a conversation with over a year ago. You know, she was actually wanting to talk to me about her sister who was in all sorts of financial trouble. And,
yep.
You know, and in the course of it, you know, I was asking her about how she was going with her finances, and, you know, and she sort of was quite interested. And I tried to sort of,
coax,
offer a session to go over there and talk to her and her husband, and she kept sort of saying no or rescheduling or whatever, and I just sort of let it go. And then she calls me up this month and says, I'm ready.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting. I think so much of it is about persistence and just
persevering. You know, I can think of people who 10, 12, 15 years later, oh, you're still doing that. Oh, I really need to talk to you then. It was like,
yeah,
didn't actually believe when I first started that I would make a go of it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like looked on with skepticism. But the fact that 2 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years later, I'm still there, still doing what I was doing, I was taken a lot more seriously. So be there.
Yeah.
I know there's a question on everybody's lips now. Where do you find 400 or 500 people to talk to? Because to be successful in business, you've got to have a great product, and we know we've got a great product. Mm. And then you've got to have people to have the conversations with. Mm. What's the secret there?
Well, a few sort of streams, I suppose. You know, where I started was just really going to local business networking meetings, and, you know, I picked up a few clients that way, definitely. And you know, the referral partners that I made contact with down here, I picked up one through an accountant who actually, like, this was really in my first month of doing business. I was prepared to do a lot of freebies so I could just get my name out there. And so I said to this accountant, you know, here is a gift voucher. Give this to one of your really great clients, you know, who you think could benefit from this service. And so he passed it on to a gentleman who just works so hard and just spends all his time working and not managing his finances, and was sort of going around in circles. And so I helped this guy for free, and you know, I think I got him up and running. And then he said, oh, tell me what your rates are, and I want to pay you, you know. So I ended up getting my full fee back anyway from him, because he was really happy with it. And, you know, he's still seeing me now. So I think actually, you know, offering a freebie like that is a really good thing. I did offer that to a couple of the other referral partners that I have, and they didn't use them, which I thought was a bit odd, but maybe it was just that he seemed to trust me or something like that, and maybe they weren't quite sure, or I don't know, who knows.
Yep. But your strategy at the start was just anywhere that somebody will stop and listen and talk to you, and just go everywhere and just see what you can start.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Just wherever. Carolyn's got a message. Anthea, when you say 400 to 500 conversations, are they all sales conversations, and what percentage would you say? Yeah, they're all sales conversations, those conversations. Or percentage, well, I don't know, probably one in, it's a really good question. I mean, probably a bit under, slightly under 30%, maybe 25% or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, if I look at the amount of clients that I have now, yeah, I guess it's probably about that. Yeah, something like that. So, I think I'm getting better, like a lot of those earlier conversations, you know, I mean, you do get better at it, you know, you just kind of can read the situation and you're better at bringing out people's pain points and just, I don't know, just having your sort of spiel down, I suppose.
It's all about developing a vocabulary, isn't it? Things roll off your tongue and you think, oh, where did that come from? Because it becomes part of your language, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I weave stories into it all the time about, and I think that's what really works. You know, the more you work with people, the more you can draw on experiences with clients that you've worked with to illustrate a point about, you know, oh, so-and-so. And I'll often, you know, draw on other people's stories too, you know. So I've used Sam's story about the couple who won the $600,000 house or whatever. I've used that in sales conversations. I've said, you know, this didn't happen to me, but these people came to another spending planner and they'd won this blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, So there's all sorts of drawing and people resonate with stories. The more stories you can use, you know, in your Facebook lives or in your, you know, in your actual sales conversations, the better, because people can relate to them.
Yep. It's real life.
So in terms of, you know, I'm still sort of answering your question about where have they come from. So there are a couple of streams, and I am getting definitely more well known in my community all the time. You know, people are contacting me via Facebook, or they're signing up to my list, and I can see them there, and I know that they're locals, but they haven't actually, you know, that they've just grabbed my freebie, and they're just sort of sitting there percolating, and some of them won't ever come through, but some do.
What freebie have you got as a giveaway?
I've got two. One is the snapshot tool that you have. I just basically took that and just created a video to go with it. And, you know, it's the wealth planner and the snapshot tool. And that's really good. That's actually pretty popular, I think.
Yeah.
And then the other one is my 3 Secrets to Saving Faster special report, which has a couple of, you know, customer testimonials, and it just sort of talks about why people have such a struggle with saving and why budgeting doesn't work, and, you know, it's got lots of images and so that's been pretty popular too. And that's the one. So my other source of leads is through Facebook advertising, and I made a very conscious decision early on that I wasn't going to F around for too long.
around?
I really wanted to get my branding set up right. And actually, because one of the things that I did in my previous business was I really relied on organic traffic all the time, and it was very slow. And the way that Facebook is operating now and Google is that really to get anywhere, it's hard to do it organically.
Yep.
So I just made that decision. I was going to do that. And yeah, you know, it was very fearful in the beginning that I was like, oh God, what's going to happen here? Is it actually going to be worth it? And it has proven to definitely be worth it. Right. I feel like I'm still paying quite a lot for advertising, but it's definitely bringing the leads in, and it's definitely making my business income much more consistent than I think it would be just relying on organic traffic.
Right. So give us an example of an ad. What's an ad on Facebook look like that you might have used?
Oh, well, I've got the Three Secrets to Saving Faster special report lead magnet, which, you know, it's just got, I tried a whole bunch of images with the actual book cover, and, you know, I set my targeting and so people can, so that's kind of cold traffic, like people who get delivery of that, that this is why I sort of try and marry it with some video content, which is not selling at all. It's just really me talking about why budgets don't work and, you know, why this, you know, like what does, and just giving valuable sort of information so that it's kind of warming the audience up before you actually present them a lead magnet.
So would you do a video like that on your Facebook page or in a paid advertisement?
What I did was, they're not live, so I actually created proper videos. And that's, I have
money tip kind of little snippets, I'm assuming.
Yeah, one was like, you know, how to save $100 a week on groceries. I basically just took the, you know, that the blog post that I did that ended up getting interest from Channel 7 or whatever, and just turned that into a video. Another one was, there's like four of them.
So did you pay to make that video as an advertisement or to boost it as a post, or how did you use that on Facebook?
Well, what I did was I actually invested in a videographer to film it for me. So it's a really high quality video.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I did that. I just got a student, basically an acting student who's great with video. And he did it for me, and he made four videos. So I think it cost me about $350 or something for those four videos. And they're quite long videos. Like they're way too long actually for Facebook. Like one of them goes for about 6 minutes, which is just way, way too long. Like if I did it again, I'd do them all in less than 2 minutes.
Yep.
But you know, it does, they do, people do watch them, and it does really warm them up. They really like, you know, someone will call me or they'll contact me, and now I just will get the sense that they feel like they know me, mm-hmm. and they've been following me for a while. And so that sales conversation I have with them is so much easier. It's really easy. Some of those conversations that they're already pre-sold because they've kind of watched.
Because they're agreeing with what you've said in the video and saying, oh yeah, I liked a bit about what's it. So the question I'm trying to get an answer from you, and I don't feel like I've got it yet. So you've had those videos created, and you're paying Facebook to show those videos to people who are just surfing through Facebook looking.
Correct. At stuff. Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're not really advertisements, like you said. They're just you.
They're sponsored. They're called sponsored posts.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's got a link back to your Facebook page or your website or where?
Kind of both. Some of them don't have a link back to the website. Some of them do. But the other thing with those paid posts, sponsored posts, is that if people like the post, then you can invite them to like your Facebook page. Some of them will do it automatically, but it's always really good to just keep watching who's liking them, because then you can click through and invite them to like your Facebook page. So it's another way of growing your Facebook following as well.
Right.
You know, like you're paying for people to, you know, see that sponsored post, but it's got this double benefit in that it grows your Facebook following as well.
All right. So you've got some paid advertisements and some people click through, do they actually fill in an opt-in box and put themselves on your mailing list? Is that one of the outcomes?
Yeah, exactly.
And then what happens then?
Then I have an email autoresponder campaign. So that is, you know, a series of emails which walk them through, you know, like there's the welcome email, which is, you know, very sort of soft, sort of, you know, this is me, and, you know, I have, it's just a bit of a silly welcome email where it's got the picture of me on sunrise, and it's got, you know, a silly picture of a dog where I say, oh, this is me, and then I go, uh-huh, no, that's not me.
That's my dog.
You know, whatever. It's just,
well, you're showing them you're human, and you've got a sense of humour.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like, stick around. You know, I'm going to share with you some amazing tips on saving money and achieving your dreams faster. But what I really focus on is, I focus on what the things that people want. So people don't want a budget. They don't want to manage money. They don't want to do any of that stuff. What they want is they want to be able to buy a house, invest, educate their kids, or travel. They're the four things that they want. And they don't want the stress. they want to not have stress about money. They don't want a budget. They don't want to manage money. So I just really, really focus on the things that people want.
Yep.
And, you know, and then kind of slip, well, in order to do that, you know, I've got a way that you can get there faster.
And it's not budgeting.
And it's not budgeting. Yeah. Yeah. And this is why it's not budgeting, because budgeting doesn't work.
So in that autoresponder series of emails that go out to everybody on, I guess, you know, every second, third, fourth, fifth day or whatever you've got it set up to do,
you're
then inviting them to, what, give you a call or? What?
Yeah, I link them to some resources and articles which sort of explain why budgeting's doesn't work and what does, and, you know, it's like providing value. I think the sort of rule of thumb is give, ask. So you kind of, you're offering, you're giving, and then, you know, you're inviting them to do something. So the invitation is to book in for a discovery session with me, to where I'm going to give them some strategies to move their finances forward.
Right.
And you know, and in that invitation, you know, I talk about the program in depth and what it can achieve. And, you know, I'm going to give you this 45 minute session or this 30 minute session free. And we're going to, you know, I'm going to teach you how to move your finances forward in a really effective way. And, you know, some of you might be interested in working with me, and that's why I do this. And if you don't want to work with me, that's totally fine. You're going to learn heaps just in that session.
Yeah.
So that's the offer. And yeah, and so people book in for that. And generally they book in if they're really serious about, you know, like they don't usually book in if they're like, some of them are kind of wanting a freebie, but most of them are genuinely interested in what the service is that I could provide, and genuinely considering it as a paid option.
Yep.
You know, they're not just there to get a freebie. So hey, occasionally you get people who are, but not very often.
Yep. So do you use something like Calendly or some kind of online calendar to put in time slots for people to book into then from those emails?
Yeah, I have a scheduling diary thing called Acuity, and Acuity, I've had it all kind of synced up to Zoom and Acuity and Google Calendar, so that they, when they book in, they automatically get sent a confirmation with the Zoom link. And so I don't have to, like, I was sort of having to manually schedule the Zoom sessions and all that. So I had someone just organize it all, so I don't have to do that now, which is great.
So but is
often that... I find people are just, they're not very tech savvy, you know.
Yeah.
And so they're quite happy to just speak on the phone, so I end up having a phone conversation with them for 45 minutes.
Right.
And they're kind of more comfortable with that, and I don't And I seem to have better success when I don't show them any, I don't show them the software, that I have better success when I actually just have a phone conversation with them and kind of paint the picture in their heads about what they can achieve rather than, you know, show them the software and whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think I've been saying that for quite some time.
Yeah.
So that's the last piece of the puzzle, because, you know, we've gone through the funnel and how you get people into the funnel and what the funnel looks like. And obviously there's specifics that we don't have time, and it's your intellectual property that we don't need to get into, but someone's booked at one of these sessions and you have a chat with them. Have you got a particular strategy, script, process, or you just having a chat? And what are the key things that get them to go, yep, I want to sign up, I guess is where we need to get to.
Yeah, I do have a bit of a process, and when I follow that process, it seems to work well. And sometimes I forget particular parts of the process, and then it doesn't work as well.
It doesn't work.
Yep. But generally what seems to work is, you know, when I get them, you know, I just like always a bit of small talk to start with, you know, just, you know, where are you? Cause I'll, you know, be speaking to people who are all over Australia, and just to find some kind of point of connection, something pretty basic, and then ask them why, you know, why are they getting in touch now, and what did they see, or how did they find me, you know, and why now, you know, why not a week ago or 2 months ago or a year ago? And so that question highlights the pain point right up front, you know. Yeah. The reason why they're picking up the phone is because they're just sick of going around in circles with money, or, you know, they'll say it right up front. So right there, I've got the pain point that I can then sort of draw out. And then, you know, I'll ask them about what they've tried, you know, and what they feel are the gaps in what they've tried. So, you know, some have tried My Budget, some have tried, a lot have tried Barefoot Investor, a lot of, been doing nothing, you know. And so I'll ask them about what do they see are the gaps or the holes in what they've been doing, and
why things didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. And then
I just said that the gaps are basically saying, why didn't that particular strategy work? You're asking them why.
I'm asking them to tell me, which is kind of making it sort of apparent to them as well. I mean, they know, but it's good for them to actually repeat it.
Yeah. Right. And so you've got them telling the reason something odd's happening here, but
my earphones just went flat. That's why.
Oh, okay. You need to fix that.
I'm just going to put them away. I'm just talking straight into the computer microphone now.
Okay, you sound a little tiny bit more echoey, but not
too different. Yeah, sorry about that. So then what do? Then I just ask them about spending leaks. Like, are they aware of any particular areas where they might be hemorrhaging money, or where, you know? Yeah. And they'll tell me whatever they think, and, you know, sometimes people are pretty frugal and they don't actually spend a lot of money, so I've really got to kind of dig and find, you know, like often it's that they just want clarity and control, and they don't feel like they have that. Like, they mm-hmm. feel like they're actually good at not spending money, but they don't feel like they've got any kind of visibility about the future or anything like that. And that's what they see I can help them with, because they've watched my videos or they've read the articles or something like that. They see that this is different.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So just perception, and those videos and articles talk about the fact that we allow people to plan into and see the future.
Yeah, absolutely. That is huge. That's a huge. I'd say this is really the only forward-looking budgeting system out there that I've ever come across, and, you know, it allows you to be able to, you know, be able to see exactly what's going to happen in your bank accounts over the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, which is, you know, just so helpful.
Yep.
And, you know, I always say one of the things, you know, when we were going through struggling with our finances and trying to work out the magic combination or the thing that was going to get us on track was, you know, whenever I was tracking my expenses or writing everything down or Excel spreadsheets or all of that stuff, I knew exactly where my money was going. Like it definitely helped in a lot of ways, but it never helped me answer that $1 million question, which I always had, which was, okay, so I know what I spent my money on, but how much do I need in my account today to cover everything that's coming at me? You know, that's the thing. And people hear that and they go, yeah, that's right.
That's actually the pain point that got me started 25 years ago. Exactly.
Yeah.
So from what I'm picking up here,
I didn't even realize that was the answer when I was, it's a bit like, you know, you don't really realize you have a rock in your shoe until someone points it out to you. So I didn't know that was the problem until you pointed it out. And so that's what I do is point it out to people.
That's very interesting that you say that, because I think some of us could be too close to this to actually recognize that.
Yes.
We know it's the magic number that sets us free, but it can be too easy to just assume that other people understand that. And it may require a little bit of explanation in detail for that.
Yeah.
To come home.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And so then I guess it's basically the close. Do you wait for them to ask you, can I be your client, or how do you do that?
Well, I try and get them to lead a little bit. Like whenever I feel myself babbling, I know I'm talking too much, and I just try and shut off and just, you know, try and, you know, get them to talk a bit more.
There's a saying that God gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen more than you talk.
But, you know, like usually I'll tell them what is different about it, and I'll try and sort of match it to I ask them fairly early on what they're, you know, what I say to them is, imagine, you know, you and I sat down in 6 months' time or 12 months' time. We sat down, we had a coffee together, and you said to me, Anthea, I feel like this year has just gone great with my money. I feel like I've achieved X, Y, and Z, and that makes me feel really good. And then I say, what are those things for you that are really high priority that if we got those done in the next 6 to 12 months, you would just feel like it was a total success? And then they tell me, you know, what's the most important thing?
Clever strategy to get them to dream a little. Yep.
Yeah. And then I link, you know, whatever they're wanting, you know, so a lot of them are self-employed and they haven't been paying themselves super for years, you know, and that's something that they really want to start doing. And I'm like, yeah, so we're going to put that super in your plan. You're going to have that in your plan as something that you do every single week, pay that super into your account and watch your super balance grow. And, you know, we're going to have, you know, that holiday that you want to have with your kids on a cruise, whatever, around, we're going to put that in the plan so that, you know, so they start to imagine what that's going to be like. And I say, you know, you're at the moment, you want to plan for these things, but you don't really know whether, if you put money away for those things, whether you're not going to have to take it out for some unpredictable expense. But the thing is that we're going to factor in all of those predictable expenses, all those unpredictable expenses, all those long-term replacement costs that you have to include in your budget, but most people are not including them. And then we're going to be able to see what is over and above all of that that you can put towards your dreams. And so you'll be able to put money away for those dreams and know that you won't have to take it out again for some unpredictable expense or some whatever.
Yeah.
And that, and they really get that. They really get that, and they're like, oh yeah, that's, you know.
Is that actually possible? Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then it's just a matter of presenting them with some paperwork and saying, well, let's do this.
Yeah, often, like, if they're keen, they will say, so what's the next step, or where should we go from here? And if they don't say that, I say that to them. I say, so where should we go from here? And I try and sort of say it in a quiet voice, so I'm not, you know, I'm not asking them for the order, but I'm kind of prompting them to tell me where they want to go from here.
Yep.
And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I want to just, let's get going. Or sometimes I'll say, oh, I just need to talk to my husband, or I want to think about it, or whatever. And, you know, and lately I've been a little bit bolder and saying, well, if they want to think about it, I'm like, well, what is it that's holding you back? You know, what's actually behind that reservation about just jumping in? You know, because you told me that you really want to get ahead with your finances. I'm just interested to know what's underneath that. And, you know, and frequently they'll tell me, oh, yeah, I'm just not quite sure if I've got the money. Like, I really need to look at my budget. And sometimes it's like they really want to do it, but, you know, they're balking at,
yeah,
upfront fee. And so I'll be like, well, that's cool, we can do, you know, a payment plan that works with whatever situation you have at the moment. You know, like, if you want to sign up today, but you can't actually pay the first payment until, you know, 2 weeks time when you get your wage in or whatever, I can just post date it for that, so I won't, you know, take your money until that date. And that's like, oh really, oh okay. And so often they haven't even thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will get them over the line. Sometimes they really want to do it, but it's just financially they can't quite make it.
Well,
right, that day, you know,
there's a lot of fear around it too, because,
yeah,
you know,
that's right.
So just probably last question, I might give people an opportunity to ask before we finish up, but it's getting later. So have you ever offered a money back guarantee?
Oh yeah, I do. I don't offer it to everyone, but you know, those ones that have what's called a high action threshold, like it takes a lot for them to actually make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones I do definitely. And I'll say, look, I just basically say what you say, look, if you jump in and you work with me, you know, with the program, and you do everything I tell you to do over the next 6 to 12 months, if you don't feel like you've gotten twice the value of what you paid for it, I'll just give you your money back. That's how passionately I feel about it. And I've never had to give anyone their money back. You know, I've had, you know, a number of people who will pay and then they'll, you know, they just won't do what I tell them to.
Yep. Yep.
Just like, I've had a couple of clients who literally, you know, pay a lot of money and then they just won't even turn up to meetings or won't even.
It's, you know, unfathomable, isn't it? Yeah.
It's bizarre. I really don't get it. Yeah. And they don't ask me for the money back. You know, they realize that they've committed to it, and, you know, but yep. Anyone who's actually stuck with it, they've never asked for the money back. So,
because they've always had an outcome. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. That's.
But that really does help people. It helps people just relax and go, okay, what's it going to hurt, you know?
Yeah. Cool. Well, there's nothing that you've told us tonight that I would say was revolutionary or, you know, rocket science. It's straight down the line what marketing is all about. But the thing is, what you said right at the start was sheer grit and determination or something along that line. So what I think has been one of the key reasons for your success is everybody knows what they need to do. There's always doubt about when you decide to do something, whether it will work or not. And so you kind of can second guess yourself. But you've just gone, I'm doing this, and you've done it. Followed very standard rules and processes, and stuck with it and made it happen. Is that a fair price of what you told us?
And
it's easy to find reasons why I'm busy today, I'm busy tomorrow, I'm busy, and I didn't get to do it, but you've actually made it happen.
I think, you know, like, I've definitely had times where I thought, oh, you know, it'd be so much easier to just go and get a job, you know. And I've invested a lot in this, and I think this is maybe that's why, because I've kind of burned the bridges, you know. Like, I haven't burned the bridges entirely. I still do the odd day of casual teaching or whatever, but I'm doing that less and less and less, and investing more and more time in this. So it's like, well, it has to work. It has to work because I've committed so much time and energy to it. And
Alrighty.
But that whole thing about the definite major purpose, I think that was a lightning bolt sort of moment for me when I really got that actually having one intense focus makes an enormous difference to getting traction.
Cool. All right. Any questions? Maybe type them in the chat box, or if you just want to unmute yourself, and probably got time for two.
I've got a question.
Sammy, go for it.
Hi, Anthea. I am Anthea's biggest fan, I think. I go to Anthea if I've got questions and stuff, as she well knows. But anyway, my question, I think, might benefit the other spending planners as well, is what do you say, or how does your conversation go, and I realise that everybody's different, when people say, we want to go home and we want to think about it? Like, do you still do the, well, what's stopping you now sort of thing? Or how do you go when they say, I want to think about it? Because like you, I've got clients that have come back months later and still signed up. And I refuse to do the hard sell with them because they're in a very delicate position anyway. And I believe that if they're going to come back, they'll come back. So how do you go around the, I'll think about it?
I think you kind of read the situation.
Yeah,
I don't do that with everyone. I agree with you, but there are just some people. Like, there was this one woman who just was, you know, she was just really into the idea, and then she was like, oh, you know, I just need to think about it. And she just was, I could just hear that there was a bit of, I could just hear she really wanted to do it, but there was something she just wasn't, she needed permission to actually go, you know what, I'm just going to do it or something. I don't know. Maybe the more conversations you have, you can hear that in people.
Yeah. Some
people I can hear, they really genuinely need to, you know, go back and talk to their partner or whatever. And, you know, and some people say that and it's a lie.
Yep.
They're not actually there. They're not sold, and it's a lie. They're telling you a lie.
Yeah.
You know,
it's an excuse.
No amount of chasing them up is ever gonna, you know, it's like I kind of can feel when I actually haven't, when they haven't got the value of it.
Yeah.
But I don't really have 100% answer for that, Sam.
And I think, like I said, I think I kind of expected that because each client is different. You know, I mean, I've signed clients within 20 minutes, and I've had more than one appointment with clients, and they still don't sign up. You know what I mean? So it swings and roundabouts. Everyone's different.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyone else? No. All right. Well. There'll be information about our podcast launch, and thanks, Anthea, for that idea earlier. We've got a fair bit of work to do in the next couple of weeks to get all that organised, but I think Carol and I were talking about it this afternoon, and when we realised I'm going away in the day after that day, I'll be gone for a month. Haven't had a holiday for a couple of years, thought it was time I did, so we're cutting it fine. That gives us 2 weeks to get it organised. So look out. We're going to make it happen. All right. Any other questions? You've got about
30 seconds to put your hand up and ask, or else we're done for the night. I was going to say, who prefers the evening time slot? But of course, you guys all do because you're on this time slot. And you're all muted, so you can't say anyway. All right. Well, I see a few people thanking Anthea for that interview. Thank you, Anthea. That was great. Really appreciated your input. Looking forward to talking with you all next time. Hopefully that's a couple of weeks' time on our podcast launch.
That's your
point. All right. I'm going to stop the screen share and I'm going to stop the recording.